out of the dark.
All right. Well, it's good to be here. You guys happy to be here? Yeah. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for another time, another year, another mission conference, Lord. We just ask that you speak this week. To use your preachers, Father, to open our eyes, to see a vision, Lord, to see more what more we could do, Father. And I just ask that you just do a work here in this church, Lord. We ask that you bless all the works that go out of this church, Lord. That you bless the church, Lord. That you get more people in this work involved, and also that you use us to save more souls, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 14. You know, this month, Carrie and I celebrated 19 years of marriage.
Amen.
So on the 4th of July, as we're crossing into the States, you guys were getting ready to celebrate your independence on the 4th, and that's when I lost mine. But it's been a good ride. It's been fun. You know, some of the things Karen had to endure or has to endure, it's hilarious. You know, we talk about the craziness going on in Mexico and how we don't drive at night no more. But actually, I think it's a blessing for Karen if she really just thought about it, because back before all this craziness, you know, was around, we used to sleep on the side of the road a whole bunch traveling. She never liked sleeping on the side of the road. I had no problem, you know. We'd pull into, like, you know, a parking lot or something like that, and, you know, I said, well, you know, we'll just catch, you know, a few hours of sleep here, and we'll just continue. And she said she couldn't sleep because there's so many people walking around at night, you know, and in the parking lot, whatever. And I said, you know, I would tell her, Karen, just no problem. You know how to solve that? Just close your eyes, and then they won't be looking at you no more. But now that we don't travel at night no more, and we don't pull over on the side of the road, and we have to get a hotel, I think she kind of likes that. But you pray for us. Things are kind of crazy down there, but the Lord's good, and the Lord's going to protect us. I do know that. And, you know, if not, well, he's still God, right? In chapter 14, you know, I got saved here in this church in 91, and it's a long time ago. In 91, and in 92, got married. And then in 93, had a mission conference. Got saved in a mission conference, and I got called in a mission conference. And then in 94, we went down to to Mexico, and man, we've been down there, had the pleasure, the privilege of working with some good guys, with Bill and Joey and Brent down there in Irapuato when we first got down there, and then they decided to take off to Poland, and now working with Steve and Adi, and worked a while down there also with Roland, and man, been surrounded by, you know, good group of guys. And I just thank the Lord for that. It's been real good. But you know, we're up here again, and every year we have this mission conference, you know, and they're doing it, you know, years before I got saved, and you know, it's been just good to come and to hear, you know. We got a break, you know, we have a break this week from our pastors, right? The pastors are always preaching here, and so now the missionaries are up, and it's kind of cool, you know, listen to other people, you know, preach instead of the same guys always preaching to us. But and then we get to hear about, you know, what's going on in our neck of the woods, you know, and that's what we're going to try to do this week. But I want to talk a little bit about why we have mission conferences, because I think it's important. I think it's biblical. I think it's important, you know, for us to reach other people, you know, and all these people. You look back there, you know, at the boards, you know, back there in the pictures and stuff, and lives have been changed, not only in Mexico, but in Poland and in lots of places. It's just incredible. And you know, these people are real people. You probably never get to meet some of them, but these people have been changed because a lot of you guys, because of this church, because of the sacrifices that we've made, you know, to take the gospel somewhere else. Hey, you know, it's such a privilege to do this. It's such a privilege to be involved in missions. You know, I want to talk a little bit about that. Before we get to the text, I want to just review a little bit of what's going on here. In chapter 13, Paul gets, this is where he gets sent out for his first missionary journey, and he starts off in Antioch, and he takes off with Barnabas, and so they're going and they're going to be preaching, and they get to Cyprus, and then they go to Perga, and then that's where they lose John Mark, right? For whatever reason, in verse 13, it just says that John just left, and I mean, who knows what happened? Maybe he got a little scared, maybe you know, he got homesick. I have no idea, but he started off with him, and then he's not there no more. And it was a big deal because we see in chapter 15 that there was a big problem between Paul and Barnabas. Paul didn't want to work with John no more. He said, we're not taking him no more. And then Barnabas got a little upset, and so he took him. He went somewhere else, and then Paul took sides. So I don't think it was just a little problem. Something happened that was a big problem. But, you know, thank God for 2 Timothy because, you know, Paul calls or tells him to bring John Mark with him. So obviously they got things worked out. Obviously John Mark didn't fall out of the race. Something happened, but, you know, they got back together and he was a benefit to Paul in the ministry. He even says it there in 2 Timothy. So that's the good news about that. But then they go on to Antioch in Pisidia, it says, in verse 16. And then there Paul begins to preach. He sees a lot of things, you know, things start happening. He has problems and he's starting to preach. And the Jews, they didn't like what he was saying. The Gentiles accepted it. They wanted to hear more. And then they take off again and they go to Iconium. And then they went to Lystra and Derbe. And then there is where they started worshiping Paul, right? And Barnabas, and they said, man, you guys are like gods, you know? And so they wanted to correct that. And then they got to a point where they stoned Paul and left him for dead. And that's pretty interesting, you know, because when you read that, it says they did leave him for dead. I mean, I think when they stoned him, I don't think they just threw a couple of rocks. I think, you know, and he was possibly dead. You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows what exactly happened there? But it says they left him for dead, and I don't think if they had the intentions to kill him, I don't think they'd just walk away if he was still breathing. So I think they wanted to kill him. Maybe they killed him, but then the next verse says that the disciples were standing around looking at him. You know, he was dead, and all of a sudden he just stood up and took off, and he didn't quit. He didn't go back home. He just got up and started preaching again. Just went somewhere else. I mean, just an amazing trip. You would figure that would be the first and last trip he ever took. But no, he said, well, this is what God called me to do. I'm just going to go do it. So then they finally get back to Antioch. And this is where I want to pick up in chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, this is what when he got done with his journey, and then he starts heading back and starts visiting the churches that he just started, and he gets back to Antioch, well, he's exhorting the brethren wherever he was going and saying, look, this is God's will. This is what we got to do. We got to live for God. And you know what? And we are going to suffer somewhat. And man, by that time, I think Paul had a lot of experience in tribulation, you know, being left for dead and, you know, having these people hate him and being kicked out. And he's, you know, shaking his dust, you know, from his shoes saying, oh, fine, I'm leaving. I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, you would figure the gospel would be readily received. I mean, this is great news that God, considers us lost and dead in sin, and we're bound for hell. And God says, but I'm going to save you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is great news. Isn't it? It's good news, man. But you would figure this would be readily received by everybody. But it wasn't. Some people just hated him. And then it seems like there, if you read these two chapters, it seems at one point that a few Gentiles were like believing, and then the Jews convinced them that this guy was a bad guy. And so now not only does he have Jews chasing him, but he also has some Gentiles chasing him. So this was an incredible missionary journey. He saw lots of, but he gets back and he's exhorting these guys. It's all right. You know, we're going to get persecuted. We have been persecuted. We're going to have tribulation. But you know what? It's worth it.
Amen.
You know, and then he goes on to verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 23, it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You know what Paul was? He was a church planner.
Yeah.
He went around and planted churches. You know, lots of times when we think about missions and we think about missionaries, you know, we think about, well, you know, we do something in Mexico, we do something in Poland that you guys don't do here. But you know, that's not true.
Yeah.
We do the same thing that you guys do. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. You know, you preach, we preach. You teach, we teach. You baptize new believers, we baptize new believers.
Amen.
I mean, sure, there's a little differences, you know. You guys have a nice pool out here to baptize. We literally probably look for the biggest hole somewhere and try to baptize them there, you know? I mean, we don't have a lot of our places. We try to find fountains, public fountains sometimes, you know? In Toluca, we had several public fountains there in Toluca. We baptized them really fast to get out of there so we wouldn't get into trouble. But, I mean, you talk about public baptizing. We were publicly baptizing. And, you know, people just stand around. What are they doing, you know? We were baptizing them and someone looking for cops and just get out of there, you know? But, I mean, we do things a little bit different than you guys. But, you know, for the most part, it's the same thing. And, you know, you got problems in this church. We got problems in our churches. We do the exact same thing. You know, the difference is we do it in another language. That's it. You know, you do it in English up here. We try to do it in Spanish. You know, I know I look Mexican, but I bleed apple pie. I mean, when I went down there, nothing. I mean, I hardly knew any Spanish. You know, I know it was bad because Brent made fun of me. And if Brent was making fun of me speaking Spanish, I knew I was speaking pretty bad. But you know, and then sometimes, you know, I'm originally from the Valley, from the Rio Grande Valley. And so I heard Spanish all my life. I just never spoke Spanish. And the Spanish that even up here in San Antonio, you know, a lot of you might think you're speaking Spanish, but the words you speak aren't Spanish. it's other stuff, you know? Like instead of saying camioneta, you say troca. Troca's not a word. You know, it's not truck and then you put an A at the end of it. You know? Or an O at the end of it. You say, I speak Spanish. Speakele. You know, I speak. No, that's not it. I mean, so I went down there with that kind of vocabulary. And it got pretty comical, and it got me in trouble sometimes. I remember going down there to Irapuato, and we're preaching down there, and things, I loved Irapuato, because lots of things happened to me in Irapuato that didn't happen, or haven't, and I don't want them to happen to me in other cities, you know? But Irapuato was fun. I went to jail in Irapuato. I got in trouble in Irapuato. I mean, lots of stuff happened in Irapuato. It was good experience for me. But I went down there, I remember in our first public preachings downtown, we were preaching in the public plaza there, and it just happened to be between two churches. I didn't put the churches there, I didn't put the plaza there, but that's where it was. And so we were preaching down there, and then all of a sudden we had groups around us. I had people around me. Joey had people around him. Well, you know, Bill had people. I mean, we it was great, man. And we were talking, and they were upset, and they were telling us stuff. Well, it's dangerous when you think you know words, but you really didn't know the meaning of that word, or maybe that word had another, or I know this word that I used had another meaning. See, I grew up, and I'm not going to say the word, but I grew up with saying this word, and it meant just dumb. It meant just ignorant in the valley. I go there, and so these guys are using this word and calling me that name. And so they're saying to several of them, you're, and they kept on telling me, and I had a few people around me, and I said, you know what, you're right. I am that. And I see they kind of, you know, looked at me, and I said, but you know what? So are you. And I'm using this word, and I'm saying, so are you, and your mom, and your dad, and I'm just using the word over it. And the reason why I'm using the word so much is because each time I said it, their eyes were getting bigger and bigger. And so I'm thinking, man, I'm getting somewhere. Man, the door is open. Well, I'm all excited. We get back in the truck, and Josh was the little kid back then. You know, we get in the Suburban. We're in there, and I'm all excited. I said, Joey, you can't believe this in my group. And so I'm telling them what I'm saying. And, of course, Josh is going, Dad, he can't say that. He can't say that. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Well, they told me the definition of that word. Thinking, okay, so sometimes you can get in trouble. We do the same things that you do up here. When we have a mission conference, we talk about taking the gospel somewhere else. This is our responsibility. It's our privilege. We don't do anything different than you guys. The only thing different, well, for the most part, is we do it somewhere else. But look what it says also in verse 26. It says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. You know what they had here? A missions conference. They gathered the church together not to talk about, you know, worldly stuff. I mean, it's good to talk about worldly stuff. It's good to talk about, you know, well, some worldly stuff, right? You know, new jobs, new careers, school, you know, graduation, all that's good stuff. But, you know, they got together to talk about what God was doing. They got together to talk about what God had done. Could you imagine being there and Paul telling them, man, they stoned me. Thinking, what? Yeah, they left me for dead. I was like, wow, could you imagine? I mean, this week you're probably going to hear some pretty crazy stories, you know, just to give you an idea of what we go through, you know, and it is good. You know, God has done and let us see so many things that I know I probably wouldn't have seen here. And that, you know, that's how God is. But you know, what strikes me in verse 26, it says, then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. You know, the grace of God. That's what it's about.
Right.
You know why our church is still here at 602? The grace
Amen.
Of God.
Right.
You know why there's 24 churches in Mexico? The grace of God.
Amen.
You know? In that 24, we're also including Puebla, even though we don't have anybody. but we're there. Right? We're preaching. And the hope is that God, by the grace of God,
right.
He's going to save someone there in Puebla. But you know, the grace of God, this is why we're here.
Yeah, right.
This is why we continue. This is why I believe long after Brother Lindell goes with the Lord, this church will continue.
Amen.
If we are given to the grace of God. You know, I thank God for the vision that Brother Lindell had.
Amen.
You know, I thank God for him being obedient, you know, to start this kind of work. And he didn't start off to have, I'm sure, lots of things that this church has done wasn't in his mind back then. But God has allowed us to be a part of something, oh man, big.
Amen.
But you know, the grace of God, this is what we have to understand. God is going to take care of us.
Amen.
You know, I believe that the missionaries God has on the mission field out of this church, if we give them to the grace of God, if you guys, you know, pray for us and we are in the grace of God, He's going to sustain us.
Amen.
I know He will. We're doing a good work. You don't have to be scared. And I know sometimes it's a little scary. You know, sometimes we have to know exactly how it's going to turn out before we do something. Well, you know, that's probably not too wise, because if somebody would have told me, even that first year when I was in Irapuato, that I was going to go to jail that first year, if God would have told me that, I probably wouldn't have gone. I don't like being in jail. You know, I don't like people getting mad at me. I don't like persecution. I like to get along with everybody. You know, I like to have friends. You know, I'm a people person. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. Sometimes, and it's amazing, you preach, we preach such an incredible message, and people get upset with us. People get mad at us. People throw us out of the country. Why? What are we doing? Are we persecuting people down there? No. We're giving them the answer. And sometimes it doesn't sit well with people. But you know, God's grace, that's what it's about. That's why we're still here.
Right.
You know, have you figured this out? That you cannot protect yourself? We can't protect this church. We can't protect this assembly.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we just had another group leave and go to the north side and start another work. Well, praise God for that.
Amen.
You know, and so they left and some families left out of here. And we're thinking, man, these people have gone. They left a vacuum. Well, we'll just fill it.
Right. Amen.
We're just going to fill it, right? I mean, we have to fill it. You know what happens, and I've seen this several times, whenever we are at a city and we're preaching and these men are taking our example, maybe they're not as faithful as they should be, but they're trying to do their best. But when we leave, they say, well, they're gone now. And then all of a sudden they're preaching more days. And all of a sudden they're leading the meetings better. And they're being more prepared. I mean, I would like for them to do it while we're still there. Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. But it's an amazing thing. Don't look at the division or whatever you want to call it, the splitting or whatever you want to call it. Don't look at it as a bad thing. What else could God do? And then He's given you an opportunity to win more people.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, just think about it. If each one of us would bring somebody to church, we wouldn't have enough chairs to fill this place. It'd be impossible. I mean, I think, well, maybe not. Let's just try it. One person. One person, man. Standing room only. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Amen.
But you know what that's going to have to require? Is maybe some of these people who left were the ones that were actually inviting people. Yeah. And actually winning people. And then you go, well, man, they're gone. Who's going to be winning them? You.
That's right. Amen.
Well, man, they left. Who's going to be some? You. You're up, man. You were on deck. Now you're up. You know, you cannot save yourself. We cannot protect our church. We cannot protect our kids. You know, have you thought of that? When my daughter was born, I gave her to God. God, she's yours. You know, and you know, I'm not dumb. I don't consider myself dumb. I try my best to teach her some things, you know, especially now with the craziness down there in Mexico and kidnapping and all that junk. And she's getting older. I can't keep her in the house, you know, even though I want to keep her in the house, but it's sometimes it's not possible. She has to go to the store for it sometimes. Even though I can go, she goes, Dad, I'll go for the tortillas today. Oh, you know, but it's just right down the block. Then you read about somebody getting kidnapped two blocks from their house. You're thinking, oh, but I can't take care of her.
Yeah, that's right.
So I give it to God.
Amen.
I say, God, you got to do it. But, you know, and I try my best. You know, I get on YouTube and I look for these videos, these Krav Maga videos. You heard of this stuff that is Israeli combat stuff? It's pretty cool stuff. You know, and so I get some moves, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, and I'm trying them out, you know, and so I teach Lauren. I say, Lauren, look, if someone does this to you, and so Lauren's like, come on, Dad. I said, no, this is what you do, this is what you do. And so sometimes when she'll be walking by and I hide behind somewhere, all of a sudden, oh, you know, I grab her or something, and I try my best. I think we should lock our car doors and lock our houses. You know, we do what we do, right? I mean, we can't be dumb about this, about living. If somebody wants to break into your car and steal it, they're going to break into your car and steal it. Right? But lock your doors. Don't leave you. If you don't want your glass window broken in your car, don't leave your purse in there. And the women always say, but there's nothing in it. Yeah, but they don't know that. The purse is there. They don't know you got no money in there. They're going to break in. They'll find out later and probably get mad and scratch the car as they leave. You try your best. You try to do, you know, the other day we were watching Karate Kid. I think, hey, that's something I can teach Lauren. Wax on, wax off. Yeah. Protection. Sure. But when it comes right down to it, grace of God. God's going to have to do this. If God doesn't do this, what can we do? God's going to have to protect this church. And God's going to have to continue blessing this work. We can give all the money that we have. And if God's not in it, what's the use?
Yeah, that's right.
We want God in this work. But you know, this verse, this last verse here, the 27, is what I want to talk about. It says that when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And now he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. You know, just real simple things. Why we have this mission conference. Why we get together. Why? I mean, they had two missionaries there. They came back and they rehearsed everything God had done to them. Through them. And I think the church really got excited. I mean, we see in Acts 15 that they sent Paul and Silas out again. So they must have gotten excited. Even though it was a burden, I'm sure it was, because if they sent them out, they had to take care of them. I mean, you read chapter 13, and it says that they were all there. They had all these teachers. They had these prophets of God there in chapter 13. And then God spoke to the church. And then they said, separate Barnabas and Saul. Send them out. And they did it. And guess what? They came back. And they told them everything, and all of a sudden they go out again. Hey, you look at the life of Paul in the early church, incredible things. How much the gospel just spread. I mean, so much so, it says over there in Acts 19:10, it says, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All. I mean, I don't know exactly what that means, all. I'm just going to believe it. It's all. You know? All heard. Well, you know what? 30 years ago, however long ago, when they went down to San Luis, when they went down to León, when they started this work, and they said, they looked at the map, and they said, this area right here is the least evangelized. I mean, I don't think they even dreamed 600 people in León. Who would have guessed that? You know, I mean, maybe in the back of their mind, they said, yeah, God can give us a church of 50. You know, I mean, 600 people. That's just incredible. And we got churches, God has churches all over the place there. I mean, and these guys, they've learned how to street preach. And they're out on the streets. And they're in downtown areas. And I mean, it's just incredible. People come up to me. We've been in Puebla for a little over a year. And we show up one time there at our park, a Thursday night. And we show up there, and a guy's sitting on the bench. I give him a track. I say, hey, we're going to have some meetings over here. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, you preach my street. And I said, I did? Yeah. About a month ago, you preached my street. I said, oh. Well, you want to come to the meeting? No, I don't have time. But people know who you are. People have heard. People walk by and they hear you. There's so many people now preaching the gospel down there.
Amen.
Why? People are obedient. This church was obedient. Sent out missionaries, started preaching, and guess what? God blessed.
Amen.
You know, the first thing that I think we want to do this week, and I think your missionaries and your speakers are going to try to do this, is renew this vision.
That's right.
Of evangelism.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what it's about.
Amen.
This week.
To
renew this vision that we have, all them that heard in Asia. I mean, everybody heard. After Paul went through all that area and preaching in his missionary journeys, everybody knew. Everybody heard. Not everybody agreed with him. Not everybody believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they heard. You know, sometimes we think, or we make a mistake, I think, in thinking that we have to make sure all our T's are crossed here. We have to make sure that we're doing our thing here before we do more. But you know, it's not that way. I mean, it's not the Bible way. Look what it says over here in Acts chapter 1. Turn with me, Acts chapter 1. Look what it says. In verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And look what it says, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Both. You know, they were there in Jerusalem, and God said, you're going to do work in other places too. You know, they had a church there in Jerusalem. You know, there were believers there. You know, there were people praising God in that place. And then they sent out to preach the gospel in other places. You have to understand that. God saved you and you're in this church. And then God says, now, I want you to pick up your eyes a little bit higher.
Amen.
And that's not to say there's no work here in San Antonio. I mean, there's a lot of people here in San Antonio. There's people that you work with that probably most of the people in this church will never talk to. Unless you talk to them and you explain the gospel to them and they come to church and they believe the gospel. And what are you doing? That's one of the things that we want to do this week. Renew the vision. renew this thing in us. And we got to do it. And praise God every year. Praise the Lord for this time. I really enjoy coming up here and being with you guys. And I enjoy seeing you guys. I enjoy hearing what's going on in other parts. I enjoy the morning meetings. I enjoy hearing my pastor in the morning meetings. I like it. It's good. I need it. But you know something that we want to do too is renew that vision. You know, the Bible says the gospel is hid to those that are lost. Look what it says over there in 2 Corinthians, if you would. Just turn with me real quick. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Look what it says there. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel. That's the vision we want to renew.
Amen.
You know something? The gospel should not get old to you.
Yeah, that's right.
If the gospel is, if the preaching of the gospel is old to you, something's wrong with you. You need to fix that. You need to repent of the message getting old to you, because it shouldn't be old. Every time you hear the gospel, you should automatically be sent back to where, to when you were lost and the gospel was hid to you. And it was by God's grace that He saved you. He gave you that faith. He gave you that saving knowledge. I mean, I'm saved because God opened my eyes. Because God loved me first. That's why I love Him. Isn't that what the Bible says? You didn't love God first. He loved you. You didn't find God first. He was looking for you. Well, this is the gospel. And you know, there's people around you. And there's people in Mexico. And there's people in Poland. There's people all over the place that right now are in the same situation as you were when you were lost. You know, another thing that we want to accomplish is also renew the personal responsibility that we have. You know, you have a responsibility. And just to let you know, giving money does not appease your responsibility. It does not, God doesn't say, you know what, you gave money, thank you very much, you already fulfilled your responsibility. That's not your only responsibility. You, as a believer, you have the responsibility to live godly. You have a responsibility to fulfill your ministry. You have a responsibility to tell others about, and I know it's hard. It's hard. Look, a lot of people just don't want to hear it. A lot of people just care less. I mean, I know things hadn't changed. I mean, when I got saved, I had a bunch of friends. And then all of a sudden, it dwindled down to very little bitty friends. I didn't have too many friends outside the church. They just didn't want to hear it. But you know what? Those guys ain't going to have an excuse in that day. They're not going to say, you know what? John never told me. No, I told them. And they did their best to get away and to leave me so they wouldn't have to hear it again. But you know what? You and I do have a responsibility. We can't forget that. There's so many people around us. You have that responsibility. The mission conferences, this time, this week, we don't only want to focus on what we're doing over there, but we want to renew that responsibility that each of us have here too. Another thing I think about is we want to make you understand that when you give to the gospel, when you give to world evangelism, when you give to people who are preaching the gospel somewhere else that you're not going to benefit from, I mean, this is something good.
Yeah, amen.
Look what it says over there in Philippians. Turn if you would. Philippians chapter 4. So we want to renew the vision this week and your responsibility. And we want to make you understand that what you're doing and what God says that we need to do is give the gospel. And this is biblical. They did it with Paul. They did it with these missionaries that left. They gave money so they could live somewhere else and preach the gospel freely. You know, it's an incredible thing. Sometimes people come up to us as we're preaching downtown or in the streets, and they want to give us money. Like if I have a sign around me saying, give me money, you know? They come up to you here's some money. I don't want your money. Oh, what are you doing there? Well, listen to the gospel. Listen to what I'm preaching. I'm not doing this. I'm not a clown. Maybe they think I'm a clown. I need to go get a wardrobe. But they want to give you money. I've had Christians want to give me money. Oh, you're doing a good work. We know. You're doing a good work. Here, this is for your ministry. Give it to your church. Don't give it to me. I'm out here preaching. Other people see me, I'm out here preaching, and then you give me money, and they think I'm doing this for money? Yeah. No, thank you. I got a church back home. They send me money. I'm here. Thank you very much. No, but you can buy things. Give it to your church. Give it to your pastor. You know, giving money is something that we need to do. And Paul took money from these churches that he ministered in to take the gospel somewhere else. Look what it says there in Philippians. It says in verse 14, it says, notwithstanding you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Know ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Did you pick up on that word, well done? Man, isn't that going to be good to hear that from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well done. And seriously, well done, I don't think means perfection.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we can do well, and maybe there's other people that do better, but we're doing well.
Amen.
I think God expects us to do what we can do. And if we do what we can do, I think God will one day say, well done. But you know, if we want to get that well done, if we want to hear that from God, then we have to be participants of this too. We can't just be thinking, okay, I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But then when it comes to missions, you say, no, I stop there. Well, how are you going to get that appreciation from God one day, well done. I think this is part of it. I think this is part of Christianity. I think this is part of the gospel, to give money to take the gospel somewhere else. Look what it says also in verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know, a lot of you people in this church have been given to your missionaries for years. I mean, I can go back on my gift offering, on my list that they send me every month. And there's some people on there that since the day I went out, they've been given to me.
Amen.
You know what that means? You know what that translates to? Fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
Where I've been, God counts it for you. What an incredible thing. That's why I don't think I'm going to get to Poland, but I want to give to Poland. I want fruit over there. You know, talking to Paul. Well, I wasn't talking to Paul. I was speaking my language and Paul was speaking his language. And we didn't understand each other, but Joey was, hopefully he was translating correctly. That's a hard language. Praise the Lord for Joe and Brent and Josh and Corey and
Robert.
There you go. Robert. They're down there. They're preaching. You know, that's a hard language. Praise God for these guys who go down there. Well, one day we'll understand each other, Paul. One day we get up there, we'll all be talking English. Fruit that may abound to your account. You know, in verse 19, I like verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what happens when you give? You lack. Right? If you give to missions, well, that money that you gave, you don't have no more. You have to rearrange your life a little bit. Instead of hiring somebody to build your shed, you got to make it yourself. Might be a little crooked, but you got to do what you got to do, right? I mean, instead of doing, you know, buying a brand new car because you give to missions, you say, I'm going to get a 2-year-old car. You have to adjust some things because it causes a vacuum in your life. It does. But you know what this verse says? You know what Paul says? I mean, I'm not promising you nothing. You know? You got a need, go to God. You know? But I believe this verse.
Amen.
I believe that my God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of you today support this church, support missions, and I don't think any of us today, well, I know specifically today because we have dinner on the grounds, but we're not going to miss a meal today because we gave. You're not going to miss a meal tomorrow because you gave. You know why I believe that? I think God looks out for us.
Amen.
If God wants to keep this thing going and we are in the grace of God, then God's going to bless so we can keep it going. The will of God.
Amen.
I want to be in the will of God.
Amen.
I think these three things is what we want to bring out this week. Renew a vision. Man, this should be good stuff to hear.
Amen.
Do more. More people getting saved. You know, I think our responsibility, we want to renew this desire in you to work for God right here. You know what? And if God calls you to come to Mexico or Poland or wherever else, praise God, I believe he can do it.
Amen.
And I believe he can keep you wherever you're at. You know, and then we want you to understand that we're not here begging for money. Your missionaries are proof of God's grace. It's God. It was God from the very beginning. You know? From the very beginning, when that mission week, when I talked to the pastors that week, when I said, you know what, God's called me to Mexico, and they had a meeting with me, and Brother Lindell said, okay, we've discussed it, talked about it. all right, you're going to be studying with Brother Brian now to take care of your last year. And by the way, don't sell anything you have. Take everything down that you own to Mexico, because you might be selling it, because you probably won't get any money. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. God's grace. Grace. And let me tell you, God's been good.
Amen.
I mean, just look at me. God's good. God is so good. God going to keep doing it? I know He's going to keep doing it. But these things are what we want to do. And there's one more thing that we want, I think, this week. And one thing that we want to accomplish this week is we want to help revive the church. A revival. You know, I think, and I believe this with all my heart, if you can renew your vision about evangelism and know that what you've done thus far and what you're doing and what you can continue to do isn't in vain, and what you're doing is a great work, if we can get that renewed again, and if you're not doing anything, if we can just renew that vision and say, you know what, it's worth it. Do what you can do. If you did what you could do, everything would work out. I mean, just think about that lady who threw in the two mites. And God said, man, she gave more than all you guys. Man, you just got to catch it. You have to renew this vision. It's such a great work. And if you get on fire and renew that responsibility that each one of us has to witness, leave a track on the table. I know we go out to eat every week. I know we do. Leave a track on the table. Amen. Smile at your waitress.
Amen.
Leave a good tip if you leave a track. If we did just a little bit, if we caught that vision too of our own responsibility, and I believe if we understood that the giving we're doing, the sacrifice that we're doing, it's for God.
Amen.
I know this can bring a revival. You know, if we did this, so what do you got to do this week? This week, for us to get to that point, for us to try to accomplish this, well, you got to show up. You got to come. You see where you're sitting right now? Let's just say your seat is reserved this week. All right? That's where you're going to be sitting every night this week. Just make it a point, make it a decision. Come this week.
Amen.
I mean, come on, we're in the summer now. We don't have Mission Conference no more in February, so we're reruns right now. There's nothing on TV that's worth watching right now. Look, we know we're going to have a football season this year. They're still on strike or whatever. And it's not like, you know, things are going on new in the world. It's the same thing, just different names. So let's come out. You have to come out.
Amen.
You know, and another thing you got to do, not only you got to come, but why don't you just pray? Why don't you just pray and you ask God, what do you want me to do? What else? You know, Karen, talking about that week, that's what I was praying. I believe sometimes we don't want to pray that because God just might answer us. I don't want to ask God what you want me to do, because then He's going to tell me and then I have to disobey because I don't want to hear what He says. So we just don't ask. We just don't pray. Well, you know, this week, why don't you pray about that?
Amen.
What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to get right this week? What do you want me to accomplish for you this week? Man, I still believe, how many centuries ago did this happen? And the Holy Spirit is still the same as He was back then.
Right. Amen.
These guys were preaching, these guys were teaching, these guys were doing what they're supposed to do, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, separate these two for me. And they said, okay. And then they come back and they say, send them out again. And they got a bigger vision. You know, this is what you got to do. You got to show up and you got to ask God what He wants you to do. Amen?